Good morning. I'm going to take a moment and let you all preach for just a second. So I'm going to start a sentence and you're going to finish it, okay? The church is family, okay? What else? House of worship, okay? What else? Open what? Center, okay? Bigger than all of us. Anything else? Awesome. Okay, so these are all positive affirmations of what church is, right? And we have all sorts of language centered around what it means to be the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is God's vehicle for doing the mission of God in the world. The church is the hands and the feet of God going forth to serve. Now let's put those positive affirmations aside for a moment. And I want you to think of things that you have heard about maybe what the church is that maybe is not so positive. Anyone have an example? What? Controversial, judgmental, full of hypocrites, house of hypocrites, right? What? Stuck up, okay? Divided, okay? Anyone else? I don't think this is a new thought, that the church, although it is called to be the body of believers of Jesus Christ, it is a place where sinners can come to be healed. It is a place where we can be filled and come alive and hear our call and be sent forth. Although all of this is true, often throughout history, the church is also a place full of hypocrites. It's a place where we come just because it's a part of our routine and we're not necessarily transformed or changed. It's a place maybe we can show up just so we can show off instead of being a place where we can go out and be the hands and the feet of Christ. This is not just true today. This was true when Jesus was around also. We come into this text this morning, and we are in the midst of our Lenten sermon series, Picturing Yourself in the Story, where we take this final week of Jesus' life that we often call the Passion or Holy Week. And we look at these various events from the entrance into Jerusalem until Jesus' final moment on the cross. And this is Jesus' story, right? But it's also the disciples' story, and it's also our story. And so we say, how can we look at each of these events and imagine how our lives can be transformed as well? So we come into Mark's text this morning, and Jesus has just had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, right? Where the crowds have gathered, and they all have their palm branches, and they're shouting out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, right? Hosanna, come. We need you. And if you know much about Jerusalem at that time, it was kind of the center of all things, right? It was the holy city. And this last week before Jesus' life, people were celebrating an annual festival known as the Passover, right? We talked about this last week. And the Passover was this time of celebration. It was a time of celebrating liberation and freedom. Because remember, if you flash back to the Old Testament, the Passover is when the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, and they were sent out to go to the Promised Land. And so the people in Jerusalem would have been celebrating, but they were also under the thumb of Rome and under oppression, and so they wanted a savior. They needed Jesus. Now, if you can imagine, Jesus is the Son of God, right? Jesus is God incarnate. And so it would only make sense that Jesus would go into God's house, right? In all four Gospels, this story is told. And we hear that Jesus walks into the temple. And how does Jesus respond? Is he happy? Is he joyous? Is he singing? No, Jesus is angry, right? He's ticked off. He is mad. If you have ever seen a movie depicted of this scene, you would see red-faced Jesus, right? And Jesus walks in, and he takes the tables, and he throws them over. Now, if you look at John's gospel of this, John tells this story a little differently. John actually tells the story of Jesus coming into the temple in chapter 2 of his gospel, okay? So we're not in Passion Week in John. If I just want to read John for a minute, just because I like the way John writes it. But he says this: "The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus, he went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. They were making a whip of cords, and he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. And he poured out the coins of money changers, and he overturned the tables. He told those who were selling the doves, 'Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace.' And his disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.' And the Jews then said to him, 'What sign can you show us for doing this?' And Jesus answered them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' And the Jews said, 'The temple has been under construction for 46 years. How will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So we get this really awesome scene that John lays out for us about Jesus coming in and literally taking tables and throwing them over and tossing coins and driving people out. It says he makes a whip, right? He is mad. But in John's gospel, it's at the beginning, not at the end. And I think it matters where we position this story in the gospels, at least for our sermon today. And so I want to stick with Mark because I like where Mark puts it. He says that the festival of the Passover was happening this last week of Jesus' life. And everybody knew who Jesus was at this point, right? When he came into the city, people were fearful. They had heard about this Jesus guy. They knew about all this miracle stuff he'd been working and all these healings that he'd been doing. And they knew that he was a threat to political power and to Rome. I want you to imagine this morning someone coming into our sanctuary right now and just throwing stuff around. What do you think would happen? We have a police officer sitting right here. I'm sure Ryan would get on it, right? Now, if it was just some random person off the street that we didn't necessarily know, it would probably cause us some anxiety and some worry, but then we would be able to go on, right? But what if it was someone who was threatening the very nature of who we are? That might get us a little more riled up, right? Jesus was putting himself in a lot of risk by coming into the temple at this moment, the height of the Passover, and causing such disruption. So I want to take this movie that you've seen probably before of Jesus throwing over tables, and I want us to reimagine the scene a little bit this morning and think about what this place would have been like, and also ask the question, why in the world was Jesus so angry? So here's what we know about the actual setting that's going on. We know that the temple complex in Jerusalem would have been enormous. Just want to let you know, I should have said this last week. Our sermon series comes from this book called Entering the Passion of Jesus by one of my favorite scholars, Amy Jill Levine. So some things that I'm preaching this morning, I'm quoting her book or using her research, okay? So just to let you know that. These are not all things that I just have in my head. But the temple would have been the size of about 12 soccer fields put end to end. So it was big, right? A lot bigger than this space. So if Jesus was at one end turning over some tables, imagine 12 soccer fields away, it probably wouldn't have caused that much disruption, right? And so the action didn't necessarily stop the business of what was going on. But for Jesus, it was symbolic more than it was practical. And so our job is to figure out, well, why did Jesus do this? And what did it symbolize? The Jerusalem temple, the inner part was known as the Holy of Holies, okay? And so this is where the chief priest would have entered on special days, and they would have asked for forgiveness for themselves and for their people. And then outside of that, there were multiple courts. There was the court of the priest and the court of Israel and the court of women and the court of the Gentiles. And they were welcome to worship in the temple. And that outer court, that outer perimeter, the court of the Gentiles, that is where vendors would come and they would sell their goods. Now, it was Passover, right? So one of the things that the Jews would do, they would come and they would make sacrifices, right? And they would come from all over. Now, I want you to imagine for this morning taking this great pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem, a place that you only visited once a year, and you had to sacrifice your very best. And you were traveling hundreds of miles and not in your car, right? You didn't have FedEx overnight shipping. And you had to bring these sacrifices. Now imagine trying to keep yourself and your kids and your family alive. And you also got to keep some doves alive, or a sheep, or a lamb, right? Probably not something you want to worry about, because the last thing you need is to come all the way to Jerusalem and the animal be dead. Or close to dead, right? Because that is not the very best that you can offer to God. So instead of bringing it with them, they would have bought it there. One of the things that you often hear when people preach this text or read this text, or this is something I've even preached, is that this was the people in the marketplace that were then selling these sacrifices were exploiting people and driving up the price. Actually, we get no indication of that in the text at all. And probably the people would have rioted and just not bought from the temple keepers. Because somebody else, supply and demand, right? Somebody else would have sold it cheaper somewhere else. So they probably weren't exploiting the poor here. So then we have to say, okay, then why Jesus, why was he so angry? Some people say, well, maybe Jesus hated the temple. That's not true, right? What does Jesus call the temple? His Father's house, right? He calls it his Father's house. This is a place Jesus loves. This is a place that he calls his people to be. Now, he gets mad about it sometimes, right? Temple messes up. Church messes up. So why else would Jesus be so mad? Well, some people say, well, it's because they didn't let the outsiders in. That's not true, right? One of the courts was just for the Gentiles. So Jesus says this. He says, this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. Now, at its core, by definition, that is true. The temple is exactly that. It is a place where people can come and pray. It is a place where people are welcomed. And often, this is in mission statements of our churches today, right? The church is a place where everyone is welcome to come. But I often wonder, is it really? And was it really in Jesus' time, too? Is it really a church of all nations? Or is our church a church of people who look and think and act and talk like us? And so Jesus asked that very same question of the people in the temple then. Then Jesus goes on to criticize them, and he calls the temple a den of robbers, right? And den also would have meant cave. So he's saying this is a cave of sinners. In the depths of who you are, you're robbing folks. And he doesn't mean exploiting the poor for their offerings. He means you are robbing the world of what I am calling you to do and who I am calling you to be. Because instead of actually listening to me, people of the temple, you're just doing the stuff you do all the time. You're doing business as usual. Jesus is calling the people in the temple when he overturns the tables and he throws the coins and he gets angry. He's calling them to rethink what it means to be the church. So often I hear, well, the church is a place where I come on Sunday mornings and I fill up so I can go and I can pour out. It's a place where I can come and I can show off my Sunday best. It's a place where we clothe ourselves instead of going out and clothing the naked. Maybe instead of looking at the church as a place where we fill ourselves up, maybe we should be looking at the church as our life source that we are integrally connected to that allows us to reach out and connect more people to God who is at our very center. The church is not a filling station. It's not a place where we can make a transaction with God and we can buy our sacrifice so we can fulfill our annual promise of the Passover. The church is where we come together as the body of Christ so we can grow the body of Christ. And when our hands reach out and grab one another, we can hold on to somebody who's hurting and broken in the world. Maybe Jesus is so mad because he sees people coming in and just continuing to live their daily lives and forgetting about all of those people that Jesus has just been ministering to that are crying in pain. The father of the daughter who Jesus raises from the dead, right? The blind man who Jesus allows to see. The multitude of people who come onto the hillside that Jesus feeds because they are starving, not just for food, but also for the bread of life. Jesus has been witnessing all of this pain and suffering for 3 years, and he comes into the city and he walks into the temple, and they're just doing their normal thing. And Jesus is pissed. Have you not been paying attention to me, church? Have you not been listening to what I have been saying? Go out and help those people because in just a few days, I'm going to hang from a cross and I'm going to die for you. But I'm also going to rise again. So as you leave this morning, how can you rethink what it means to be the church? How can we not just allow this to be a part of a ritual, but actually something that transforms and changes us into something new? Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for this day and for your word. I thank you for your gospel message, and I thank you for the different emotions that Jesus has. And God, I thank you for allowing us to see his full humanity and his full divinity. God, rile us up today. Allow us to get mad when we see the church not being the church. Allow our anger, O God, and our frustrations to be used to bring about your peace and your love in the world. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.